The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm.
Cloaked in secrecy, they show up without warning. State their business, then vanish as quickly as they appear.
Are you ready for the sex girls?
Not that I believe in it, but I could see that. But these guys are dumb.
Freaking nerds.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
We got it. Yeah. Get high, we rename the cats.
And so Pee-Pee was, Pee-Pee was Dingle Pork Pepper Dick.
every version of screwing up Engelbert Humperdinck's name is funny to me.
Yeah, for sure.
Every version of it.
Oh my God.
I don't know if I could tell the story.
Lay it on me. We'll edit it out if you want.
No, you know what? It's not bad. It's just like I don't want to get somebody in trouble with their job.
Okay.
Yeah, but Dingle Pork Pepper Dick and Elwood is Motown Bloodsport. I was just kind of thinking of, you know, Running Man, American Gladiator names. Just Motown Bloodsport hit me well.
That's pretty good. That's pretty damn good, man.
Yeah.
Motown Bloodsport.
For the day, yeah.
Do they have, you've got nicknames and stuff. Do they have voices yet?
No, that's a thing you do at your house.
Yeah. You'll get there.
I don't think,
It's fun. It's part of the fun of having pets. You give them voices, you give them backstories, job histories.
I talk to them and pretend that they understand. But we'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see where I get to. I don't know. It's I think it's a good relationship we got going on right now. I hope so much. I've reinforced the deck so many times, and Pee-Pee will maul himself trying to get out. So I don't know what's going on. I got every kind of fucking checkpoint Charlie razor wire. Everything short of razor wire right now. He'll figure it out.
Little cat prison.
It's a patio. It's a beautiful patio they can enjoy, but he just got to get out there so he can lay in a driveway doing fuck all. Anyway, what's going on with yourself, Dave?
Oh, I don't know. Just enjoying the state of the world. Just trying to find some inner peace.
Yeah, how's that? Can I share with you a little moment? I'm listening. I put on a little Grateful Dead. Started my day with I was gonna doom scroll, but I'm like, away. You went to bed. I didn't drink last night. Got wicked high. Fell asleep.
Nice.
Fell asleep watching Widow's Bay. We'll talk about that.
I've been watching that.
So far, fantastic. But I was listening to Grateful Dead on my walk. Saw a guy merging. He merged. Gave a little wave to the car behind him, and I was like,
there you go.
This will be a story that'll make Dave happy. I saw
that's all we need.
Saw a courtesy wave in a zipper merge, which is what should have been done anyway.
Yeah.
But this dude threw a little howdy-do out the window, and I was like, all right.
I love it.
I let it color my day pleasantly.
Yeah, we need more of that.
Yeah. So what you sweating about, man?
Oh, man, I had a bad watermelon experience last night, but other than that, I'm okay.
Well,
problems.
Let's unpack that for you.
I've been on a big watermelon kick. I love watermelon.
I didn't heat it up enough before I put my dick in the hole.
It's a little cold.
Has anybody ever done that? I know that's like a thing that was like, oh, you heat up a cantaloupe.
What?
Like of all the things. I mean, thing. I don't believe dudes will fuck stuff.
I never went through that phase. I just waited till I could get another human involved.
I didn't defile any produce.
I don't think I did any of that kind of stuff. I mean, yeah, you would hear. I mean, that, a lot of that was popular when American Pie came out. Obviously, the apple pie. But then I started. I have heard things. I've never tried them. I heard something about a banana peel. You take a banana peel, and I don't know. It's supposed to feel good.
We don't have to go further.
I'm real meat and potatoes with all that, you know?
He just likes fucking meat and potatoes.
I mean, just give me some red skin potatoes.
I like to throw it into a nice stew.
Mm-hmm.
I like to lay pipe in a nice shepherd's pie.
Oh my god!
Ugh, ugh.
So I've been eating a lot of watermelon. It's my favorite fruit, and I'm pretty sure I read that it's also, if not the one of the fruits with the lowest calories. So I was like, even better. So I've been eating a lot of watermelons. I'm trying to wean myself off the yogurt. I had a problem. So I'm working through that. So I'm finding other sweet tooth alternatives, and watermelon really hits the spot. The only problem is, you know, if I've been trying to eat healthy this whole year, so it's more than just you want to lose weight. If you're going to go to all the trouble to improve your diet, I also want to eat more organic stuff. So and stay away from the GMO, the genetically modified organisms, whatever. And I love the concept of a seedless watermelon. But then they're like, well, any seedless watermelon is automatically by nature going to be GMO because okay. They don't normally come that way. So they're like, stay away from the seedless, even though it's delicious. And I've upped my watermelon picking game. I've upped that. I've got some basic skills and knowledge on what to look for.
People spoke up in a Reddit about that. There was charts. We covered that. Yeah, we went over that one before.
So there's a lot of different characteristics you want to look for. But my point is, so I'm trying to not do the GMO stuff. I'm trying to eat a little more organic. So I got just a good old-fashioned, regular, organic water, seeded watermelon the other day.
Where'd you get it from?
I got it from Whole Foods.
Okay.
And I don't know if this is some sort of revolt or response to the seedless watermelon, but it seems that the seeded watermelons have more seeds than ever. It just seems to be a surplus, an excess. I'm telling you, imagine a normal size watermelon. I don't know what, 10 pounds maybe? And I understand probably you got to account half of that for the rind. So we'll say a 10-pound watermelon.
A normal watermelon should, 10 pounds?
The fuck? I mean, they're pretty heavy, right? A pretty...
I'm looking it up.
Robust.
Go on, average.
Well, whatever. We'll call it 5 pounds, just for the sake of simple math. We'll say 2.5 pounds. We'll say half of that.
You know
the
what?
Rind.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Yeah, I figured 10 pounds.
It seemed excessive.
No.
I'm sorry.
You carry them around the grocery store long enough, you start figuring out that's 10 pounds. My point is, all right, 10-pound watermelon. I don't know this to be exact. I don't know this to be exact, but I'm saying a 10-pound watermelon, let's go ahead and take half of that for the rind. So I should have roughly 5 pounds of edible fruit left. I kid you not, if we're going off the 10-pound thing, I had less than a pound of edible fruit after carving around all the goddamn seeds.
You don't just spit
There's
them out?
So
you just
many
don't
seeds.
Bite them and spit it out?
I tried doing that, but that's too much. I'll be too much spitting. It was just insane, the amount of fucking seeds.
Dave's a swallower.
You know, if you're going to go to all that trouble, you might as well swallow, you know?
God damn.
We're already doing the thing.
To think that being something that's been said to somebody else during a blowjob. You're already putting in all the work. You may as well. I don't have a preference. I'm just saying. Okay, well.
I'll go serve you some birthday cake, and right before you put it in your mouth, I'll pull it out and throw it on the floor.
Well, Vice Magazine, June 18th, 2018, opinion, watermelons are too heavy.
That is not a real article.
But it is, you know what?
Watermelons are too heavy.
But it's also Vice, so I think they're like, it's like, it started as funny. And then, but then it's as I'm just skimming it, but it's talking about somebody living in New York. You want to buy a whole watermelon, but you don't have a car. You got to carry that watermelon all the way from the grocery store onto the train, back to the house, or wherever your store is.
I've been buying multiples at a time.
I do love.
So I've got a solution to that problem. Bring your little totes. Put one watermelon in one tote. And that way you got a few totes there.
It's a one per.
Distributing the weight. Rather than literally trying to walk with them raw, you know, raw dog. You're trying to, it's like a terrible juggling act. It's like these balls are too heavy.
Were you just going to the store just for watermelon, or were you getting other groceries?
Sometimes. Sometimes I'll just go on a watermelon. Because I've been trying to eat it, you know, a couple times 3 or 4 times a week, actually. So about every other day.
Can I just imagine Dave walking back from the store in his Hawaiian shirt, just holding one watermelon, strutting through.
Yeah.
Strutting through West Hollywood.
Oh yeah.
What a sight to behold. What a.
Yeah.
God bless you. That's so you don't fuck with the pre-cut then, where you can inspect.
No. No. That well. I like the concept of being able to inspect it first. But you know what? Just the color of the actual fruit, you know, once you look inside one, that's not enough to determine. You know, it could still look pretty.
No, you know, and be flavorless. Color doesn't matter.
You know?
I got my neighbor gave me some real ugly strawberries out of her garden. Best ones I've had. And people are going apeshit about the Hood strawberries, which I cannot get past because it's Hood River, Mount Hood. So Hood is the descriptive word of products that come out of the area. And it sounds like somebody's saying something racist every
single
time.
Sounds like
you
bought it out of someone's van.
It sounds like, man, I got these Hood strawberries, dog. Like, it sounds, I have everybody around here, the joke's old for everybody around here, but I'm still like, shh, don't call them that.
Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, looks don't dictate flavor. Mm-hmm. We know that. And I do. I like the cutting open a whole watermelon, getting in there.
Oh, it's fun. Yeah, yeah. I'm figuring out like my technique as far as how to go about it. But
where was that? Somebody did something with watermelon rinds, like they pickled them or did something. Mm. I great story, Kyle. Can't remember any single detail. Maybe it was a maybe it was a dream. I don't know. But I thought somebody had something like they took the watermelon rinds and soaked them. Or pickled them, but I was like surprised that the rinds, and I was like, "Ooh, shit, this is good."
Yeah, never thought of that.
I'll look up what to do with watermelon rinds. Anyway, so okay, maybe it's a Whole Foods issue. That's also the problem with some of the non-GMO organic stuff. It's just kind of off. It's just kind of all fucked.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm kind of joking, but I am kind of serious. I used to eat regular watermelon when I was a kid, and yeah, you just chomp, 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 and then spit, spit, spit. No big deal. But it just seemed like there's more seeds than ever. It just seemed like, you got to be kidding me. This is like a prank watermelon. What am I supposed to do with this? You know?
Well.
So.
I mean, everybody's got, other than that, everybody's got problems.
Okay. Yeah. These are my problems.
Not like you showed up at the White House UFC event as America's number one clean comedian. Oh. Oof.
First of all, everybody, a lot of people already knew which way he leaned. Well, here's the thing. All right, and we don't have to go on this. And I like Nate. Sure, whatever.
Yeah.
This is in this day and age, though. This is the same argument I've had with family. Is like this goes beyond politics. You know, you show up there, it's like you're signing off. I'm okay with whatever horrible shit this administration has done or is currently doing. You know, it's like, I don't know. I kind of make an effort to distance myself from rapists and pedophiles, but that's just me.
Yeah, that's kind of the issue going on here. It's like, man.
This whole I'm not into politics.
Come on.
This ain't politics. Man. It's... You don't have to be political to oppose a rapist.
Would you rather it be kept secret? Would you rather you not
rather what
know?
Be kept secret?
Well, would you rather you not know where people stand on stuff? Does it matter though? I know Nate is a coworker.
I do want to know where you stand.
Guy, yeah. But it's like, fuck, man, that's a wild. That's not just I happen to vote for conservative things. It's like,
exactly. That's my point. This ain't conservative versus liberal. This is, not to be hyperbolic, but it's good versus evil. I mean, it's the most evil thing you can do is some of the stuff that he's been accused of. So
I'll say it's versus evil. I don't have a lot of high praise for the other option, but we don't have to fucking spin out over. I was in between looking up watermelon rind recipes. I had threads open and saw some people chirping about it. But hey, all right, man. Well, he got his. You know, he's selling out stadiums. He'll probably sell them out even more now. So,
yeah.
Meanwhile, I'm over here trying to order my.
Heaven forbid you have some conviction.
I got tracking on my. I got my Satanic Temple, I got my Hail Satan Rainbow Pride 666 hoodie on the way.
Nice.
Probably can't wear that open for Nate. I don't even use Threads. I wanted to go on Threads. I'm like, check out my new dry bar special. Suck my dick, you cocksucking motherfuckers.
Oh my God.
I don't know. I'm like, nah, I'm not going to fuck around with that. I don't fuck around with some Threads, movie. Man. I'm glad. Go ahead. Yeah, sorry.
Just a real quick aside, when you said that, it made me think. I was watching some movie a couple weeks ago, and I cannot remember what it was, but there's a scene where some old man, and I think maybe he's riding a bike, and someone's trying to stop him, and he just yells, out of my way, cocksucker! And it just really cracked me up. Hearing an old man yell, out of my way, cocksucker.
It's, I know it's pejorative, but it's, man, it's...
Oh, but it's not, like, I never have used that in the literal sense.
No, but know? It's,
like,
I mean, it's a lot...
what do I care? But it's like, yeah, you're acting like a cocksucker.
No, it's a lot like the retard conversation where it's like, oh, that's a... it's a derogatory term for a group of people.
Sure.
And I know the argument is that. It's like, yeah, but I'm not meaning it that way. But I'm not, I don't want to fucking have...
Yeah,
you don't have to talk about this stuff, man. Oh, Dave... Well, Widow's Bay. I came home the other night. Everybody's like, watch Widow's Bay. You're going to enjoy it. Firstly, that, what's his name, Matthew Rhys?
Yeah, the lead. He's good.
He's one of those guys that, oh, he's in this? Nice. I'm going to watch this.
Mm-hmm.
The Americans, the Perry Mason, the gritty Perry Mason remake that only got like a season or something.
Never saw that, yeah.
It was, I mean, anything with like L.A. or old L.A., I like watching. But so this show... What is it? Nah, Apple TV. I was, I dare I say, laugh out loud moments. Granted, I was in it a bit that night, but I was howling, man. I was having a real good time watching that show. That's usually like you watch comedy, you're like, I see that was funny. I was real good laughs, especially that first episode.
Yeah, unexpected. Yeah. It reminds me of, and I don't mean this as a negative towards the man, but if Stephen King's stuff was really good, and a lot of what I'm talking about, it's not his fault, like the adaptations, you know, the TV shows or the movies, but I love the concept of a Stephen King, you know, adaptation or whatever, and I've read some of his books, but like a lot of times, like, oh, this is Stephen King, let's watch this, and then it's like, eh, it could have been good, but it kind of, but this just reminded me of like a really good version of some Stephen King story.
Yeah, I'm just now getting into the scary part of the second episode.
But, yeah, there's... Oh, so you're just on the second episode?
Yeah, no spoilers.
Okay, no spoilers. But yeah, it's I enjoyed it.
But yeah, good. Well, as we were saying, I'm kind of burnt out on real world spooky, scary goblins and conspiracies because they're just out in the open and they're a bummer. I was just thinking... Because I was in Key West last week. Should I break down I'll break down this Florida run for you.
Yeah, I want to hear about Key West. I've never been. I've always wanted to go.
I think it's built for Dave Stone.
Really?
I think Key West exists. Are you going to go back to drinking ever, you think?
On the regular, probably not.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. Probably not on the reg, but kind of where I stand now is a few times a year. I haven't done it yet this year. I'm saving that for my birthday.
Okay.
But I feel terrible saying this.
When's your birthday, Dave?
August 3rd.
Okay.
But no, to answer your question, like, if I'm on vacation in Key West, I'll partake.
Yeah, it's a real rum soaked kind of. Well, it's also where.
Tell me all about it.
Well, it's where it's like super gay, very pro gay, pride flags everywhere. Like, you know. Drag shows, so many drag, which with the humidity, I'm like, God bless you. You call them ladies when they're in drag because they're not transgender people.
Katie and I have talked a lot about this because she's big fans of these two drag queens, Trixie Mattel and Katya.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But like in character, are they ladies?
I think in character you can refer to them as ladies.
Okay, so these ladies down there. I did not see a drag show. I just knew, like, every place had drag because it's very, very, queer friendly. But I'm walking in swim trunks. Bronger had a great joke. I was down there with Bronger. He's like, oh, it's so hot down here. He's like, Kyle and I were walking around. He's like, my balls were stuck to his balls. That's how hot out it is.
That's a little David Cross joke.
Was it? No, mm-hmm. I think
so hot that my balls were stuck to someone else's legs.
Oh, okay. Well, he was riffing it, so I don't think it was a riff.
Yeah, he's riffing. Yeah, you're like.
But yeah, but so that kind of humidity, to think of like taping up your stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Putting on the outfit and the makeup and doing a show.
Mm-hmm.
Warriors. Of warriors of entertainment. True warrior, true gladiators of entertainment.
Yeah.
Because that's what I was thinking
I like
about.
Drag queens.
Well, and that's what I was thinking about, like how, you know, they got the Hemingway house with the cats with the thumbs, and mm-hmm. they got that doll, that old wooden doll, that's supposed to be the most haunted thing. And I was just thinking about like these haunted places that are in super humid areas. Like, would you even give a shit if you saw a ghost? Like in New Orleans. You're trying to think about like the 1800s where the city smells. Mm-hmm. You don't have air conditioning. And somebody's like, boo. You're like, fucking no. No. They didn't even have shorts in the 1800s. Everybody wore wool pants. And you're going to deal with a ghost? Fuck out of here with that. Cold stuff? Yeah. Cold, that's ghost time. But I like how, again, the environment with which a ghost is forced to haunt. I can't stop thinking about that. It's like getting a shitty assignment, you know, like getting your orders mm-hmm. about where you're going to be assigned in the military. And you get like the worst spot.
Yeah.
So I just think how like it is. I mean, there's a lot of old, you know, it's 1800s and stuff and a lot of stuff. I know there's hurricanes and everything, but you see a lot of old structures down there. So I guess, mm-hmm. Tom Dustin, who runs Comedy Key West, he's like, he's been down there. He says his status is a freshwater conch. If you're born there, you're a conch. That's the name of, they call it. But he's been there for 7 consecutive years, so he's earned the status as a freshwater conch.
Okay.
He said, yeah, hurricanes, he's like, if it's category 3 and under, you have a hurricane party. If it's category 4, then you start to worry.
Mm.
But Dave, so, but it's still like a drivable island paradise. So you still have Florida bros. You still have like the dumb trucks and a lot of Gulf of America t-shirts for sale at the gift shop. But this is the thing, Dave. It's like the opposite of the internet. Where the internet, you see that stuff and you get annoyed with it and people are commenting back and forth and being bitchy to each other. But down there, everybody's just hanging out. Nobody, like, all right, yeah, you're some Trump hick from Florida, and this is, you know, these are drag queens and a bunch of gay people, and everybody's like, yeah, but we're in paradise.
Yeah, maybe put all that aside, enjoy.
And everybody's out, yeah, everybody's out having a good time. And so that was a nice, and granted, I was only there for a couple days, so I'm not saying that's how the bad, but I was asking Tom, I'm like, so how is it with everybody? He's like, everybody kind of just, you know, enjoys being there because it's a destination mm-hmm. and it's people are there to have fun. And, you know, I think the big queer positivity balances out the Florida aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, like, oh, yeah, this can level things out in people in the real world.
Or just, yeah.
Chilling out. So that was kind of nice to see.
Yeah, that is nice.
I think the Trump merchandise gave way to Patriot merchandise now. So
what do you mean?
Well, I don't think anybody's wearing Make America Great hats or Trump shirts.
Oh, okay.
But there's a lot of like a Patriot freedom. Mm-hmm. I'm a pro-American type person. Like, all right, well, even you know you got to step away from that dude. You can still be that. You can still be that thing.
I'm still this guy, but I'm distancing myself from that guy.
Well, in which is what you're saying. Like,
yeah.
You could, you know, when I'm not going too far into it, you could be about certain values of that side that aren't aligned with who's running that side.
Sure, exactly. So, I've said that before. You could still be a conservative. You can retain your conservative and even Christian values and not blindly and proudly support a fucking pedophile rapist. You know, that's possible.
Yeah.
I know some of them, it took them a while to figure that out. But.
Yeah, so anyway, that's...
So you had fun.
Yeah, Florida's kind of Florida.
What was your lodging situation? Stay like an old hotel, or what would you do?
No, Tampa. I started the week in Tampa. This was wild.
Side Splitters.
Had another fun weekend at Side Splitters. Fun club. Florida, though. Still Florida. Being Florida. I was supposed to go there. I was supposed to fly from Portland to Minneapolis, Minneapolis to Tampa. And I had about a three-hour window before the show started, so I'd land and, you know, take a little nap. That's I'm doing the same day.
I hate that.
Well,
I can't do that.
I'm sick of. I don't want to lose days being away from home anymore.
I get that
anymore.
Though. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and so it bit me in the ass. So I wake up on my flight to Minneapolis. I'm looking at the map on the screen in front of me. It's going to Salt Lake City. I'm like, what the fuck is happening? I'm like, did I sleep through a hijacking? What's going on right now? I gotta ask the lady next to me. She's like, "Oh, there was some technical problems, whatever." So they rerouted, go to Salt Lake City. I can only fly to Orlando. It's the closest thing they can get me that day to where I might still make the show. I land in Orlando, rent a car, bat out of hell to Tampa, park the car, walk right on
stage.
2 hours. So made it, yeah.
Okay.
Made it. It was a close one. So that was how the trip started. But then Florida was. Tampa was, the shows were fun, you know, sold some tickets, and then did the Comedy Inn in Miami. Shout out to Mike Levine, who runs the Comedy Inn in Miami. When we were there, we did Gramps.
Okay, Comedy Inn, I think I did years ago. Is that connected to a hotel?
Yeah, I guess they've been doing it for like 12-some years.
Yeah, I did it like 10, 12 years ago.
Okay.
Shout out to Irene Morales, great New York comic who started in Miami. She hooked me up with it. Jessica Gross. They had a good scene back there a while back.
So, well, this, I guess he, because I'm like, what's the link for this? He's like, it's going to sell out. They normally do it once a month. They just have people just come to the show. They don't know who's playing. He's built a scene that people just come to the show.
That's
which
cool.
is so invigorating to hear. And so
that's what happens when you constantly book good comedians, regardless of their TikTok presence.
Yeah, and maybe it's you know, also that it's, you know, something kind of more low key for what Miami is known for, like clubs and loud, big party stuff. People are like, I just want to go sit in this little dark room and watch some comedy and not have it be a big nightclub.
Yeah.
Thing. So
a giggle.
Yeah, and so that was a good time. And then Tom's got the club in Key West, and it's.
Have you seen that documentary they did on?
I still haven't watched it yet. Did you watch it?
I've seen clips. No, I haven't seen the whole thing. I saw the trailer. I saw some clips or something, but it looked cool.
I gotta watch. I've known Tom for a long time. I met him when I played Boston. I think the first time I played there, and God knows when, 20 years ago or something. But he's a character, and he's fun to hang out with and just sitting. I want the Jimmy Buffett life. Like, I want it, Dave.
I know you do, and you deserve it.
I took an extra day, so we did the shows Monday. We drove there on Monday, so you go drive from Miami. It's like 3.5 hours over all these bridges over like clear blue waters. Phenomenal drive through the Keys. You get to Key West, which is actually, oh, this is a city. I'd been there 30 years ago. I did a road trip with my buddies from Chicago. We did not have a fake ID.
Really?
I was 19. They were 18. So we brought like a half pound of weed. Yeah, that's what we're going to do on our five-day road trip or six-day road trip is smoke a half a pound of weed.
Half a pound? That's trafficking.
Yeah, no, we made poor choices. But so
that's prison time if you get caught.
Yeah. Cross state lines. Yeah. Fucking real dumb. Jesus. It was real dumb. In an 85 Monte Carlo, in a white 1985 Monte Carlo that my buddy bought for $300.
Damn.
I think maybe 2 months before the trip. Got to check. It was sad. Bought off an old lady. $300 from 1985 Monte Carlo in 1996. So But that, so Key West, like you drive through all these keys and they're kind of smaller in motels. It's, you know, the classic American road trip type of vibe. Still alive down there because, you know, a lot of like a Route 66 type of feeling that died once air travel was more accessible. But to get to the Keys, you can fly to the Keys, but still you could also just drive and stop at all these different keys that are a little, the part of the putt, more low key and more mellow. And then Key West is still has a proper, they call it Newtown, and it's got like a Home Depot and a Target and shit. But then there's the Old Town.
Oh, okay.
They still have, that is kind of I think people drive to Key West if you've got to buy and go shopping. Like that's the closest city, unless you want to go to Miami. But then the vibe, just the day I took off, I wanted a frozen drink. Got some like frozen colada things, it's floating just in a tiny beach next to some beach bar. That's all. Oh, Dave, I could do that for the rest of my life.
Dude, that does sound fantastic.
Just everybody,
give me,
you know,
some sunshine, a body of water, and a nice cold drink.
We went after the show on Monday. Tom, he's like, you got to go to Garden of Eden. I'm like, what? It's like, clothing optional bar. You're not going to see anything that excites you. And we did. It's a Monday night, and it's a three-story bar. We go to the top, and it's maybe like 10 people, a dozen people hanging out, clothed. I think same thing, and then just one dude sitting on a bar stool with his dick out.
There you go.
Just chilling. Just has his t-shirt down on the stool. Because I think that's just being put.
just
drinking a beer, looking at the dance floor. Nobody's dancing. And fuck, man. Yeah, I could be that dude. I could 100% be that dude. I thought about giving it a try that night.
I mean, to be honest with you, I think when it's all said and done and your story is written and over, it's going to be a surprise if you don't become that guy.
I feel like
it's all leading that direction.
That's how it felt when I was there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I love going to Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a level of disrespect that I want to engage in. That feels appropriate in Key West.
That's a great point, too. You can do things in Key West that maybe you wouldn't feel comfortable doing in Hawaii.
I'm a trashy dude.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I want to fight, I was trying to make it a joke. Like, I'm trying to fight, like, I'm closeted trash. Like, everything I want to judge, everything I judge, I also, I'm like, but secretly, I know that's the most fun.
Was it you that used to, you had a bit years ago, was it you that had, I realized that I might be first generation white trash?
Yeah.
That's funny. First generation white trash is funny.
That was, living what I didn't realize. Now I'm just like, oh, all this stuff is fun. Like jet skiing in Hawaii is a no-no. These are still kind of sacred areas and you appreciate the nature and the wildlife.
Sure.
Key West is,
don't be noisy.
Key West is fucking Florida, dude. And we sit here judging Florida. I could be Florida. I could be Key West. I could be just a rubbery, sunbaked, just doing it down there.
Yeah, growing up in the South, like, you know, I was still 5 hours from the ocean where I live, but spending some time around Myrtle Beach and Panama City, it's just funny to see like aquatic rednecks. Like, oh, you're just a dumb old hillbilly, but you figured out this life. You came down here. We used to go to Panama City Beach for spring break in high school, and it was just chaos. And it was just that juxtaposition of like, oh, this is the ocean and it's beautiful, but holy shit, look at that crew of idiots over there. Like
salt life, man.
Mm-hmm.
Which is I mean, it's like boat people. They're a type. I don't even know if I'd be a boat. He was saying there's a place called Wisteria Island.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know Wisteria Island with the big tower in the middle that someone converted into a house. Is that what I'm thinking of?
I don't. This is like an island that Tom was telling me has, I guess technically it's home. It's government land, but people live on it. But they have a community and a higher, like, it's not just a homeless encampment. They've made their own structures out there, and he's like the mayor. He's the mayor of the island is on Tom's trivia team. But they have a stage out there, and you can kind of go, like, they're a community, and there's a dispute about who owned the land. I think it's government land, and they just kind of exist out there doing their own thing. And then there's another island next to it, which is like the super rich, where like the people that want the big fancy houses but don't want the tourism to access it, they live on that island. But
okay,
I was like, okay, so people just kind of live out there. I'm gonna look it up here.
There really is something special about a nice beach community. I mean, I know that's a very obvious statement, but
yeah,
I don't know if I would ever get tired of that, especially in a like retirement setting. Not, you know, I'm still trying to figure out, you know, jobs and commuting to work and all that. But like, if I was retired and I could afford it, man, just the leisurely pace of a cool little beach town, man.
Yeah, that I know people.
Somewhere that's not going to be too touristy, though, yeah.
Well, that's the other Keys. Mm-hmm. I could do it. Yeah, I could just very little clothing. You ever just like go outside? I mean, not see that you could live in a city. I could, middle of the night, I could walk out on the deck naked here.
I used to do that when I had a house and a back porch. I used to pee off the back porch all the time.
Peeing's one thing. I'm talking about just hanging brain out there.
Yeah.
You ever do that?
I'd probably just go out there and stand in the middle of the night. Yeah, I've done that before. That's fun. People don't understand. That's the beauty of peeing outside, too, and I know we're not talking about just peeing, but there's something about a cool breeze on your nutsack that could really put a smile on your face.
I mean, so you stand over the air conditioner in a hotel room, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's good times.
Yeah, just giving yourself the old Marilyn Monroe.
I mean, you know, I love it's the pleasure and the pain. You know, if I'm going to scald my balls with hot water, you better believe that the flip side of that coin is I'm going to cool them down with AC.
He got to blow his dress up. I got to blow his skirt up over there. I mean, closing the blinds would be preferred, but that's, you know, that's where the window unit is the window unit for a reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's not even so much about wanting to be naked, but like the thrill of somebody seeing it's like, oh, where you're not supposed to be nude. Like, oh, this feels good. Like, oh, I've been wearing clothes my whole life outside. Yeah. My whole life. Feels good not to do it, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's thrilling. Thrilling at first and then comfortable at a close second. Anyway,
good for you, man.
So that's, yeah, I think nudist.
Did you eat anything good? Did you eat any seafood?
Nudist community in Florida is where I'm going to be. No, I didn't fuck around with the seafood down there. Sorry, buddy. It wasn't a lot of food tourism on this one.
Sure.
Wasn't a lot of exciting stuff on a food tourism. Meeting my bullshit, you know me.
Mm-hmm. Right there in the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah.
Get good shrimp.
Conch. It was all conch down in Key West.
Conch. I always like that word.
Yeah. It was correct. I saw that. That's how it's properly pronounced.
It's a fun word.
They're right there on the beach. Tom was like, we're in the water. Tom's like, watch out. You know, step on, found it, pulled it up. It's the foot that comes out.
Ah.
So they're right there. I think it's like some rare thing. You see the shells. It's like, no, right. They're right in the water. That's like eating pigeons. And that's just like, it's an island pigeon. That's all you're eating down there.
How was the show down there?
Fun.
Yeah.
People turned out. It was a Monday night, but it was still pretty packed. And I think it was, just folks like, oh, it's something to do. You know, that isn't like the tourist thing to do on a Monday night. We're still down here living. But it was good stuff, man. I could do it. We'll get you down there, buddy.
Yeah, man. I'd like to. I've always wanted to check that out.
I think Dave Stone, Jet Ski Police.
I love the concept of little towns like that in America, because it. Granted, I have no point of reference because I haven't been there, but I've been to similar little places where any place that kind of doesn't feel American for a little while. I know you said there's a lot of, you know, patriotic merch and shit down there, but like, I don't know, I think that's why I love New Orleans so much, because there's areas of New Orleans where you're like, oh, if I just woke up in a coma, I wouldn't think I was in America right now. I just love little glimpses of elsewhere within American soil. I don't know. It's fun. It's like, something different than, you know, it's been said a billion times, especially people like us who traveled all over America. Like, most of it kind of looks the same. You got to find those little pockets that are unique and interesting, you know, that aren't just highways and suburbs.
I'd argue that everywhere has that.
Closer than you think. But everywhere also has, you know, the mundane version of that. So I like finding those little pockets that.
Yeah, because that's where you live. Because sadly, I probably like being able to get to a grocery store easier than I like getting to a park.
Sure.
But I don't know.
Yeah, so you got to find that balance of convenience. But good for you, man. That's exciting.
Done. I'm going to Wenatchee this weekend, and then your baby's on summer hours.
I was about to ask you, how many more shows to the summer
break?
That's
it. I got three shows, and it's washing. I'm driving up there, bringing a bicycle, and then we're going to – I don't know, man. I don't know what the plan is. I repotted some plants that I have here. That got me excited. I was like, I got excited.
There's no telling what could happen this summer.
Real unpredictable. I'm like, I'm going to get the boys some cat grass. I'm going to make them a little cat grass thing for the deck so they can stop being little bitches inside. I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to get into. I got into the home projects the other day. I hung some guitars on the wall. Those haven't fallen down yet, so we'll call that a success. Painting some stuff. I was going to, you know, like we were joking beforehand, the feng shui of the home needs some work. I'm going to pay attention to that. Because they're right. That's what we're talking about. Important. The feng shui or feng shui. Mm-hmm. No disrespect to the culture that brought us that terminology, but it's a viable aesthetic presence that I think I never nail. Like, I go to your house, I'm like, oh, it's good vibes in here. I like it. I'm trying to get that with my place.
Well, any good vibes we have is, I'm not going to say by accident, but like, I understand the concept of feng shui. I don't know how to execute it. So if we got any feng shui in our places, it's just by chance or common sense. But I do love that concept. You know, I need to learn more about it. But I mean, it's very important in terms of, I feel like that's an overlooked aspect to many people's lives is, you know, regardless of how luxurious your living quarters are, you can still design them and lay them out in a way that that brings you some peace and joy and comfort. You know, I think that's very important. Put forth a little effort, and you know, even something like hanging artwork or something like that maybe not affects the feng shui of a house, but just stuff to look at that puts you in a good mood. You know?
That's what I'm trying. You know, it's that mix between, oh, I don't want this to look like a 15-year-old hung a Lamborghini poster up crooked in his room. But I also don't want it to look like you're trying to mimic adulthood or mimic what you think is expected when you walk in a house and it's like, oh, here's the picture of the New York skyline. You know, just the.
Yeah, here's my live life, love, what, you know.
Or some version of that.
You don't want it to look like an Airbnb, just so generic. Look at that.
Well, or the Airbnb of the place you live in where it's like, okay, I can understand some nods to, like, I found some cool art about Portland that I was going to hang up. But I'm trying to have it be a little more, it's an excuse to go buy art or photos from people that you like online. It's a good excuse to put money to artists. So I'm trying to use that. I'm trying to, like, again, plants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got the ex left a lot of plants here, which I enjoy. Yeah, she's
big plant.
Yeah, yeah, and I enjoy I enjoy house plants. I don't know anything about them. I'm trying not to kill them. So working on that, hence the repotting. And I think I might go buy some more today. Succulents, very low maintenance. That's I think might be the way to go. And also, that the cats, if they won't die if they eat them.
Yeah, that's very important. Yeah, you got to always consider that. Speaking of the cats and decorating, one thing that I want to do with our space is I want it to be even more cat friendly. I want to do the cat walks up on the wall and, you know, high up on the wall and like a little obstacle course for them. I really want to get into some of that. I don't know if you've seen someone just will hang like a little beam up high up on the wall and, you know, angle it down, like just little areas where they can kind of traverse up and away from human footsteps.
Yeah, I like that. I don't want to build permanent fixtures in the house. I mean, I got cat trees and shit. But where people have the whole thing where they can run around the walls and everything, I don't need that.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. But up on the wall where it's not interfering with anything else, you know? So why not just have a little setup where they can run up there and hang out or whatever, you know?
Well, because Pee-Pee falls off the bed. I don't need to give him an extra 5 feet of altitude.
That's true. That's true. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, he's not. He's not good at the stuff. I told you. Did I tell you? I was out before I got the one corner of the deck, so it's like two decks. Did I tell you about how I was out there, and I just heard this thud, and he somehow jumped from the top deck to the lower deck, onto the railing.
Damn.
Maybe a 5-inch wide railing, so the drop is only about, from the railing to the top, maybe 5 feet, 5.5 feet. But the part where he had to land was maybe 5 inches by 12 inches. That was his landing area. Mm-hmm. And so I heard that thud. I go all the way to the bottom deck. He's still standing on the railing, kind of like, can you fucking believe I just did that? Like, even he didn't know what to do with himself. He didn't plan on it working. I'm like, this guy, I'm going to have a paraplegic cat at the rate that this guy's going. So I don't need to add any more altitude for him to not be good at his job with.
Yeah, I guess that's something you got to consider.
So, yeah, not a graceful one. But I don't know. Yeah, I can't say it's been a – Florida was a fun week. I thought I had something else to go on, but I didn't have any hot ticket items for you, Dave. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right, buddy. It's okay. I made some seafood gumbo this week. That was a big hit.
Okay, what do we got? We got a shrimp.
Got a little shrimp, little crab. Well, I call it seafood gumbo. It really wasn't, because there was no andouille sausage, because I was making it for our buddy Ryan Singer came over with his new lady. He's got a nice young lady. They seem to be getting along real well. He's very excited. All right. So she was in town visiting him, and I was like, "Why don't y'all come over? I'll cook you a nice meal." And I cooked seafood gumbo, but she was good with the seafood. But the one request was, you know, please no pork. And I was like, well, there goes the sausage part of the gumbo. So really, I made more of a seafood stew, but it was delightful. A lot of lump crab meat, a lot of shrimp. Of course, made the roux. Spent about an hour making the roux. Yeah, it was good times. Made that. Made a little broccoli casserole.
Okay.
And then I introduced Ryan and his new lady to the wonderful concept of fat yogurt, which we've talked a lot about.
Yeah,
it was a hit. I think the fat yogurt was a bigger hit than the gumbo. People seemed to really like that, so it was a good time. Had like a whole spread with the yogurt. I brought out all the toppings: honey. I brought out Ritz crackers, graham crackers, fucking cacao powder, fucking espresso powder, vanilla extract. Jams, jellies, the whole nine yards. It was a good time.
Fat fat yolk.
Although it was,
sorry,
weird
I was
serving
too full.
Every dish was served in a bowl. So,
any update on
both
the spoons?
The entree and the dessert was in a bowl. No update on spoons. No, nowhere to be found. So that was the bummer. I had to. We're only down to like 5 or 6 spoons, and they're the bigger ones. So I had to serve the gumbo and the yogurt with a big, stupid fucking spoon that barely fit in your mouth. It's a real bummer. But
have you monitored?
What's there to monitor? There's no, I mean, yeah, I got 5 big spoons, but yeah, no baby spoons and no small spoons. Now the small spoons have gone one by one.
Okay, well. So,
yeah, it's an ongoing problem, but that's okay. Hey, you're talking about feng shui. I want to pivot.
Yeah.
This is just a quick little story. It's a heartwarming little story that I think we could all learn from.
Heartwarming's
World Cup's
good.
Going on.
Heartwarming's
World
good.
World Cup's going on. I get into the World Cup every 4 years. I don't know anything about it. I mean, I played mm-hmm. soccer when I was a kid, but I don't follow any of the players. I couldn't
we,
name
we
you.
All played
I
soccer.
Literally couldn't name you one player. But I like watching the World Cup.
Pele.
The Japanese team played the other day, and yeah. I think, I don't know if... The World Cup is in multiple locations throughout North America. And one of them's Los Angeles. There's New Jersey, Atlanta, a few other places. I don't know where this particular game took place. But Japan was playing somebody, and I don't know if they won or not. But after the game, now granted, soccer stadium, you know, what's a soccer stadium? 50, 60, 80,000 people. Giant stadium, soccer stadium. Japan plays, got all these Japanese fans there. After the game, the Japanese fans... They break out some hefty bags, and they all pitch in. They all start cleaning up after themselves.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Beautiful sight. Beautiful sight. I mean, talk about, you know, that device, that meme device, the American mind cannot concept blah, 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 or the European mind can't concept, and it'll show something American. The American mind can't grasp that concept. You imagine a group of thousands and thousands of people going to a sporting event and then cleaning up after themselves as they leave? It was just so inspiring.
I will. I'll say that I was following this group called the Gambler 500, and I would see their cars in the neighborhood here. And they, I think it started as like if you buy a sub $500 car and you go out to the. Like Bureau Land nice. Management area and go race it.
Nice.
And now,
I like
it. And now they've turned it into a massive cleanup effort for natural areas. So they do the race,
that's
they do
cool.
the gathering, but it's like also come on out and we're all hauling junk out of natural lands. So there
that's
are
awesome.
Some Americans that are doing that, Dave.
Sure.
So if that makes you
sure.
feel even better.
It does. Because, and I've griped about this before, but it feels like litter and trash. It's such a microcosm of someone's mentality and ideology. Like, I feel like that's the least we can do is be somewhat tidy with our litter and our trash. Just when you see, man, this is a great story. Anyway, I pick up trash on my block almost every day. I go out and I try to pick up a little trash. And I'm not going to tell you the story. It's,
yeah. Oh, the justice, street justice.
Yeah.
No, why do you?
Street justice. Oh, just somebody just took a dump. A human being just took a dump in the middle of a fucking street on our block, which, yeah. And the reason I know,
okay,
I don't know why I started talking that story.
Saw it happen?
But, no, my neighbor saw it happen. She was quite put off.
Well,
no, I was going to say, even if I didn't see it happen.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyway, but yeah, just the concept, like, I feel like that's the least we can do on a local level is just, A, try not to litter, and then B, maybe, I could sit here and bitch about the litter on my block to no one or to Katie until she gets incredibly annoyed, or I could just go fucking pick it up, and that's what I've been trying to do.
Can I go back to the shit in the middle of the street real quick?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm assuming like a homeless, not well person.
No. It was a man in an Audi.
Oh.
A man in a car.
So
pulled up behind my car, and apparently squatted between his front bumper and my back bumper, and just dropped a horrible deuce, and got wiped, left the paper, and got in his car and drove away. There you go, bud.
So my man reached critical mass.
And here's the thing. I've been there. We've all been there. I've shit outdoors almost more than I've shit indoors. But you gotta leave it like you found it, asshole. You gotta leave it like you found it.
Okay.
Treat it like a fucking crime scene, you stupid piece of shit.
In a devil's advocate, I know, I'm sorry for even saying. You're driving, all of a sudden it's like, nope, you're gonna shit your pants.
Fine.
What do you do?
I'm saying I understand hopping out and shitting between two cars. Clean it the fuck up, asshole.
But how?
That's what I'm saying.
How?
Fucking figure it the fuck out. The same way somebody's going to clean it up. What do you think? It just fucking evaporates into the fucking sky? Figure it the fuck out. Get your trash out of your car. Do something. Figure it out and clean it the fuck up, you fucking animal. Just, ugh. What's wrong with people?
I'm going to say if my man had to shit in the street, there was not, I don't know. I feel like that's an act of pure desperation.
There was toilet paper involved. Take some of that toilet paper and clean it the fuck up and throw it in the woods, throw it in the trash, do something. Anyway.
Well, so to discuss in an act of leniency. So I was in Key West, as I was telling you, I got my Amazon account hacked. And
oh, right.
I got the credit card warning, like, hey, did you try to make this purchase? No. And they stopped all of them, except the guy did manage to buy a Garmin watch, $750 watch. Garmin.
Really?
GPS watch, you know. Hmm. Amazon, he used points. I think it's maybe the idea, like, if you use somebody's points, it's like you didn't even steal directly from them because it's points I earned with purchases, so maybe they're less inclined to pursue charges. And it got reimbursed, or whatever. So I got it all. And the only thing I'm out, everything got reimbursed. The only thing I'm out is the inconvenience of having to, like, change credit card numbers on auto pay stuff, this and that. Mm-hmm. But it's an Amazon thing he got. He got it delivered. So I have an address. And, you know, criminals are stupid. Are they that stupid? Why would you deliver it to your own address? Maybe it's, oh, I know nobody's at this house, so I'll get it delivered there. I can go grab it from the house. Mm-hmm. You know, this is, if I was going to be a criminal, this is how I would do it. Mm-hmm. I still can go and look up who's affiliate. I found some 29-year-old burnout affiliated with the address with a criminal record. And I'm like, am I to assume that because he was a criminal, he's still a criminal?
How do you know he had a criminal record?
Well, I found the name, looked up the name, the location, and it came up like police reports and stuff.
Oh, okay.
But so I had called you the other day. I'm like, well, what? Okay, Street Justice Dave. I'm like, I'm calling Dave. I need to talk to Street Justice, you know.
Hold on, I'll get him.
Yeah, go get, you know.
He's out back sharpening his knife.
It's like almost like he'd knock on the door and come in, you know. But so I was thinking about, I'm like, how much energy? Like, I'm like, okay, what kind of revenge or how can I get back at this dude? I got a name. Like, I still don't know if that's the guy. I'm just assuming that this guy with this criminal record at this address where stolen goods got delivered to. And for a signature-only delivery from UPS, which I don't think they ever do. And I was just thinking about, like, yeah, what should, like, the same thing with the shit guy. Where I'm like, I had to step back from it and go, hold on a minute. What? And this was stolen. I'm going to give shit guy a pass in your story.
Thanks.
I know it's not going to make you happy, and it's not my street that it happened on, but for some reason, I see that as, like, supreme desperation. Maybe
dude
could go back.
I get the Duke part, but tell me why you can't clean that up, asshole.
How are you going to clean up a turd
figure
in the street?
The fuck out.
But
I guarantee you he's got trash in his car. He's probably got a McDonald's sack. He got some. If not, go. There's fucking recycling bins everywhere. Figure it out. The fact that someone could just defecate on a public street who's not, again, different rules for the unhoused and the mentally unwell, I get that. Mm. You're driving a fucking Audi. you fucking park and shit in the street, and then you leave. Like, I'm sorry, devil's advocate. There's no fucking leg to stand on. You're a fucking piece of shit. Sorry.
I'm not
saying... I get the first part. I've been there. I get the first part. Clean it the fuck up. It's just so... It's the ultimate litter.
Yeah.
I mean...
Well, truly it is biodegradable and organic, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe the thing is like, oh, you know, one good rain. We'll just wash this
away.
That's
probably what he was thinking.
Good. Some of the hose would handle this pretty well.
When's the last time you shit, you had an emergency outdoor shit?
I don't think I've ever had an emergency outdoor shit.
Well, must be nice.
I think I've made it.
Must be nice to live such a charmed life.
hence why I realize it's not worth trying to pursue vengeance on this who I think hacked my shit. Because I'm like,
no, we were talking about that off air. Like, what's your time worth? You know, and I deal with that every day. Like that balance of like, oh, I want to right a wrong, but at what cost? Wasting my time.
What's the motivation? Is it righting a wrong, or is it like, oh, do I feel like that I've been walked all over? The motivation for a lot of people to behave the way they do. I feel like I'm being played as a sucker, or like talking about like why I get road rage because I feel like it's personal. You feel like somebody went, no, this is everybody. They're rubbing it in our face with Gay Pride Month. Like that's not what it is. It's not directed at you.
Yeah.
And so this thing, like, I'm like this, because I'm taking this as this feels directed at me. I got robbed. No, this is just a criminal doing criminal shit. I happen to be a victim in this. But then I see this guy's police report, like, oh, buddy, your life is bad. You got a bad life, man, and I don't. And so why should I spend time and energy of what I perceive and am grateful for a good life trying to go after you? I mean, yeah, you want to see criminal, you want in the idea, like, I hope it doesn't happen again. I would like to see this get stopped, but the world's going to stop this motherfucker soon enough. You got shit delivered to your own house. Brother, you are not long for this life of crime, I don't think.
No, I mean, that's a wonderful concept to explore, and I deal with it almost every day. But just the what's your time worth, or not even that, but just trying to right a wrong, trying to solve a mystery, trying to settle someone's hash, like but at what cost? You know, I catch myself every day like, oh, that guy parked like an asshole, I'm gonna go back up to my apartment and write him a note. Dude, that's 10 minutes you could have been hanging out with your wife. You know, it's 10 minutes you could have been hanging out with your cat. You know,
yeah.
But there is that fine line. You know, you can't just turn the cheek every time. But, yeah, you got to figure out what's worth pursuing and settling and what's worth letting go. And, it's not always an easy decision to make. But I will say, as I think that comes with age, as high strung as I tend to be sometimes now, it has gotten a lot better over the years.
Yeah, it's the taking the stuff personally.
Mm-hmm.
When it's not personal at all.
Yeah, that, and you do have to treat road rage that way, or else it would just drive you fucking nuts. Like, that someone made that point to me years ago, and it clicked. Like, oh, he wasn't trying to fuck over Dave Stone. He's just late and inconsiderate and just fucking cut you off. Like, it's not because it was me. It was because that was the other car behind me. Fuck them. I gotta do this. Like, when you remove the personal attack from a lot of this stuff, it does make it easier to understand how to deal with it.
Yeah, I just got, time is a finite resource.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm asking you to forgive the street shitter, Dave.
I mean, but even that's, you know, moot. Like, okay, I forgive him. Nothing's changed.
Unless there is the stories about, like, somebody keeps finding shit in their stairwell or whatever, and it's like a jogger that is always has to shit the same part of their route and just shits, and somebody like, yeah, fucking drawn and quartered at that point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you should be forced to eat it if you're just a recurring shitter. This just seems like some sort of emergency. Yeah, I don't know about the cleaning up. I don't know. I think it'd be one of those like, you know what? I'm going to take the karmic hit today. And maybe I'm going to do something nice. Maybe I'm going to do something nice later today when I get home because I know that I'm in a deficit right now. A deficit. God, come on. Come on. What are we talking about? Jokes? Are we doing jokes? What are we doing here?
You've never shit outside via an emergency. That's good, buddy.
I shit in a river. I kind of...
By the way, speaking of which, you were just talking about Key West. Katie and I were talking about the other day. It just clicked that one of the obvious negatives of a swim-up bar, a poolside, you know, the bar that you're in the pool. Yeah. People drinking all day in a swim-up bar.
Sean Jordan has the best... has a long joke about peeing in pools, and it's very pro peeing in the pool. He's like, what?
Had seven margaritas, and he hadn't left the pool.
Yeah, he's like, of course I'm not getting out of the water. What are you talking about? He's like, you don't want me to pee in the pool? Then make the water only as high as my knees. Then I won't do it. But if the water's up my waist, I'm peeing in this pool. He's like, this is a swim-up bar. I don't see any wet footprints going to the bathroom. I'm the only one peeing in the pool? Bullshit. I'm the only one peeing in the pool.
Ugh. Good times, buddy. There's other stuff I wanted to talk about, but it's not important. They're doing urban military training in Pasadena last week.
What happened? Urban military training in Pasadena?
Urban military training in Pasadena. The U.S. military is training in an urban setting. And I'm sure that's just apropos of nothing. Has nothing to do with martial law or civil unrest or no more elections. So that's a little concerning. That's been going on around here. This is cool. It doesn't really pertain to anything we normally talk about, but... huge surf, huge swell, huge waves in SoCal this week.
Fuck
like
yeah,
record
bro.
Setting. There's some wave called the Wedge, but it was all over the local news, just like 24, 25 foot waves down around Newport Beach and Laguna Beach.
Tasty, tasty waves.
You ever surfed?
It's the one thing that I just wish I could do, and I can't.
Yeah, I've never tried it. There's no way. I couldn't stand on a skateboard. And I've told you this before. Like, I was a good athlete when I was a teen. I mean, not like great, but I was a good enough athlete when I was a teenager. I could barely stand on a fucking skateboard. I had so much respect for my skate kid friends, how athletic some of that shit is. I can't imagine. So I can't even stand on a skateboard. I don't know how I'm supposed to stand on a fucking surfboard. I don't know how those guys do it.
It's its own. I've only stood up on my own volition once in Florida waves. Mm-hmm. But I've been, you know, I'll go sometimes. I'll go out with my cousin if I'm in SoCal, and he's an avid surfer, and so, but he's the
instructor, right?
He's a personal trainer.
Okay,
and he's just rules. Steven Maresca, look up the Maresca way if you're in SoCal or want any online. He's just the best. He's the most positive dude. He broke his neck surfing. He wasn't supposed to walk again. Now he's just out there. He was pushing me into some waves in Hermosa when I was down there, and his friends were like, "He pushed you into that? Does he not like you? Like, what are you doing, man?" He's like, "Well, these are the waves we got today, bro. Come on." But it was amazing. We were out surfing, and he was with a guy who I don't know if he was a Navy diver or just a recreational diver, but he. I think it was Navy diver and was in a diving accident where he got the bends that led to paralysis. Oh. He walks with braces. This guy walks with braces. So he can like get to his knees. So he'll get out in the water because surfing is so much upper body of paddling into the wave. And then can kind of get himself to his knees and kind of kneeboard surfing, but he has to be out there with somebody, and you know, if he wipes out, like, and to get him in and out of the water. So we met up with him. And, yeah, this dude's just out there ripping in the shittiest waves. And then, you know, to get him out, like, all right, get him back out to the beach, get him on his braces. It was like very like, fuck, man. Like it's it. People who surf, it's past a sport thing. It's sure. like a spiritual compulsion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's awesome. And I can't do it. And it fucking sucks. I want to do it so bad.
You can't do it yet. If you practiced.
My neighbor surfs. He's a doctor and he surfs. I'm like, what are you, just like the coolest everything? And but yeah, he was like, you can go on the Oregon coast, but you got to wear a wetsuit so thick you look like the kid from A Christmas Story in a snowsuit.
Can't put my arms down.
Yeah, like that's the kind of like, I already hate being cold. I don't even snowboard. I'm not going to fuck around with that kind of temperature to surf. But I would love it. I would like to try it or just keep going at it.
You know what scares the shit out of me? Just the thought of it. Like, I can. Shitting indoors. Well, I don't know how people do it.
I get claustrophobic in them bathrooms.
I'm a decent swimmer, but like, you hear these stories of, you know, plane crash in the ocean or, you know, boat capped over and so and so swam 5 hours until he got. That scares the shit out of me because I was thinking about comparing it to jogging. If I had to jog a marathon, let's say I had to jog for 5 hours.
Yeah.
And if I stopped for more than 10 seconds, I would die.
Yeah.
I'm not making it. I can't run. I can't jog nonstop for 4 or 5 hours. And I feel like swimming's even worse. I mean, out there in the middle of the ocean, now if you got a life vest or something on, but I just... The concept, without a flotation device, if I stop swimming for 10 seconds, I'm probably going to drown out here in the middle of the fucking ocean. Like, to me, that's just so terrifying of like, well, how am I going to get out of this pickle? I'm out in the fucking ocean, and I got to swim to survive.
This is, okay, this is dumb. You think about situations like that, and I pretty much try to, this is like my airplane thing where I'm like, if I'm on an airplane or something gets a little, I'm like, have you done everything you wanted to do in your life? That if this plane crashes, you'd be like, ah, all right. And that's kind of where I'd be like, oh, I'm going to drown. All right.
Yeah. All right, then.
I had a pretty good time. I don't think I was a total asshole. All right. Mm-hmm. Like I don't have a survival instinct, but it's less that, like, it's more of my survival instinct is to make sure that my life is good. Mm-hmm. And I feel, and then, so if death does show up and be like, I checked off most of the boxes.
Mm-hmm.
That's my it's not a survival skill, but it's like, well, I'll live life in a way that you're fine. At whenever death might show up.
Mm-hmm.
I won't be psyched about it. I think I reverse engineered my Grim Reaper party pooper tattoo. I think I reverse thought it right there. I think I knew that was
good,
the meaning.
Good tat.
I think that was the meaning all along, but I'm now finally articulating it.
Oh, man. The plane story reminds me, I saw such a funny joke from Dan Mintz. You know Dan Mintz?
Yeah, yeah.
Dan Mintz already has maybe my favorite joke of all time, I'll butcher it. But the one about, I'm not doing it justice, but my favorite joke of all time, he's talking about, you know, kids today got it so great with pornography, what with the internet, you know. When I was a kid, all we had was the lingerie section of the Sears catalog. But now, with a computer, you can get online and go directly to Sears.com. One of the best jokes ever. But he had another joke I saw yesterday. He says, I don't know if it's a new joke or an old joke, but there's a clip of it. And he's not telling it via stand-up. He's on a podcast, I think. Mm-hmm. But he says... I'm not very religious, but I was on a plane last week that had a lot of turbulence, and for a few seconds, we thought we were going down, so I immediately started taking rights away from gay people. Pretty good joke.
And his delivery, and everybody knows him as, is it Tina Belcher from Bob's Burgers?
I just know he's on Bob's Burgers. I don't know which character. But yeah, oh yeah, he plays a girl, right?
I don't know which one he is, yeah. And yeah, because it's him and it's Eugene Merman and it's, what's her name? Kristen Schaal.
Oh, Kristen Schaal.
Or the three kids.
Yeah, yeah, I love her.
My friend was born on 9/11, which is real awkward because now I got to get him a birthday present and a 9/11 present. I saw that. I first moved to LA and I saw him at the old Largo when it was at the M Bar. Sorry, the old Comedy Death Ray before UCB even opened up. And I saw him do that joke. I'm like, what is, oh, it's awesome. Well, what do you say, buddy?
What are you excited about, Kyle? What's coming up in the next
summer? Summer's coming up. I'm excited about summer. I mean, I guess I could plug my regional stuff. Wenatchee, Washington. We got little Copper Mountain Ale Works in Tigard on the 27th.
It's good. Real Wenatchee sounds like it should be in Wisconsin or Minnesota.
It does. Well, we got a lot of indigenous folks up this way. God, you know Jeff Asmus, right?
Yes.
I think like of like new guys that are getting hyped. I think it's well deserved. He's like
he's funny,
just talking about like white supremacy in the Midwest. It's like you know Nazis in Wisconsin. Like we got to keep Oconomowoc white.
That's funny.
Okay, nailed it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, but then July 11th, Prosser, Washington. July 18th, Astoria, Oregon. And July 20th, the only thing I got in my calendar, and July 6th, I'll be at the Show Bar for a good the fundraising show with Sean Jordan and his wife, Laura Sams, and they're doing a little benefit show for a thing. I'm also getting my vasectomy consultation on that day because I'm looking.
Look at you!
Because I'm looking at my calendar, so that's also what's going on July 6th. And the only thing I got in my calendar for what I want to do is July 21st. I think was I saying Ricky Rackman is from Headbangers Ball. Okay, that's what I got on there. That's what I got coming up. And then August I got Boston, and I think I might go to Europe. Maybe I. Oh, I got Whidbey. These are all. We could talk about this stuff. We're gonna record. We're not taking a summer off.
Yeah, no, we're sticking around.
We boogie through the good months.
Well, good times, buddy.
Yeah, man. What about you? What are you excited about, Dave?
I'm excited about the College World Series today. I'm gonna go watch some college baseball.
Okay.
Gonna watch my Atlanta Braves. Gonna watch the World Cup. It was a great sports week because like in the same day I watched the World Cup, I watched my Braves, I watched the College World Series, and I watched the NBA Finals. All this I think Saturday.
This guy's gooning athletics.
Yeah, man. I forgot what gooning means. That's a Gen Z thing. What is gooning?
Just jerking off a bunch.
Jerking off a bunch, right.
From what I gather,
it's hard to keep up with all the lingo.
It's okay. Yeah, it's okay not to know.
I'm gooning. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go,
goon some sports.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, good time for sports. Yeah, just having fun with my records. Yeah, I'm getting into, I'm slowly transitioning just temporarily from jazz into more summer-friendly stuff. Like I got a little ska playlist I'm really enjoying. So yeah.
Oh, you're still no sugar, right?
Still no sugar, dog.
I was going to say, you could still make like non-alcoholic fun daiquiri drinks, but daiquiris are. Mm-hmm. That's just diabetes in a glass. Man,
I do love it. I love a daiquiri.
Yeah, I think I got to get the blender out for some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I might be shifting into that kind of Kyle this summer. That's right. I was laying on my back, and my whole torso was like, you know, was like jiggly, like unset pudding. And I felt real bummed out, man. I felt bummed
Welcome
out.
Welcome to my life.
Yeah, it all had that like Jell-O that's not ready yet. but almost kind of like, man, I used to have some like, oh, that's a rib or an ab underneath there. And this was just all loosey goosey, and I got bummed out. So that's why I went on that walk today. That's why I went on a walk. I got my e-bike up here, so I'm not even pedaling. I got my, so I'm like, I got to get out on the pedal bike and get some things handled.
Oh, speaking of which, big thanks to the listener who called in and told me about farmers carries. Been doing a ton of farmers carries lately. And that's where you just take a couple of dumbbells, or I guess they could be kettlebells, but a weight in each hand, and you just walk around. It's been a lot of fun. I'm just walking around my apartment. I had to check in with my neighbor.
Sounds like how you're going to get your watermelons home.
Yeah, exactly. I had checked in with my downstairs neighbor to make sure, you know, to confirm her work schedule, because I'm already, just without any weights in my hand, I'm already putting some stress on these old wooden floors.
I didn't
want her to think Godzilla was upstairs chomping around. So, yeah, during normal business hours, you can catch me walking back and forth in my own apartment with two 40-pound dumbbells, and it's been a lot of fun.
That's what I was saying. You drop one of those, that's going right through the floor.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't drop them.
I know you, but you gotta.
I almost dropped them. I do this new exercise I've been doing, where, like, just imagine you're standing up straight and you're holding a kettlebell, just one kettlebell in one hand. You pass it behind your back to the other hand, and you just keep doing that. Just keep doing revolutions around your own way, and then you go the other way. But I have to. I've since started doing those on my knees. You do them on your knees because that engages your core better. And if you drop it, it's a less of a fall. Because I did drop one time on my knees.
Oof, I did I did 5 dips and 5 push-ups. That's what I did today.
There you go. Small steps,
buddy. I'm real good with starting small and staying there.
Another fun and easy, not fun, but a very effective and easy exercise to do with no equipment. Man, start doing some planks. Been doing a lot of planks.
Oh, yeah?
See if you can plank for 30 seconds. Get out your phone, little stopwatch, lay it down on the floor, and as soon as you go into your, you know, get in your stance, hit start and see if you can do 30 seconds. Dude, I'm up to 60 seconds.
That's elbows. That's elbows on your elbows, like on your forearms?
Yeah, elbows and forearms, and then your whole back and legs and butt, everything kind of in a straight. It doesn't have to be, like, completely straight on the ground, but it has to be straight with itself, you know. Where there's your butt's not sticking up or anything, you know.
It's one of those things that sounds like it should be easy to do, which makes me think it's probably not easy to do.
It's a lot harder than you think. I thought, because some video, YouTube video I was watching was like, all right, to start, try to do 25 seconds. Mm-hmm. And I was like, who the fuck can't do that for 25 seconds? And
it's me.
Boy. Yeah, I barely did 25 seconds the first time. But I've been doing those for several weeks now. Now I'm up to 60 seconds. So
where are you? I mean, I know that's like probably an exercise where you don't see the difference, but you feel it. That's like a core strength thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's just core strength and all those little things just add up. It's all just my concept right now is just calorie deficit. I'm trying to burn more calories than I'm consuming, and just any exercise like that's only going to add, you know, or I guess take away from the deficit.
I don't think I'll ever operate in that kind of system.
You gotta get some functional strength though.
Wow, well, I watched the video too about what I'm talking about functional strength. That's a good way to put it. Yeah, functional strength.
Yeah, I was watching some other video about just longevity and just, you know, exercises you can do. I didn't realize this, but you think of old people, you think of longevity as like an internal thing. You know, your kidneys, your lungs, your heart, whatever. But also longevity could refer to like one of the most common injuries for old people is simply falling.
Yeah.
Like just people falling down, breaking. And this video was talking about, like, as you age, you can still, you know, at some point it goes, your motivation goes from aesthetic to just overall general health. And I feel like I'm at that point now. But, like, just because you're old doesn't mean you can't have functional strength. And that functional strength can keep you from falling one day and breaking a hip. And like, for example, Katie's father who passed, that all stemmed from falling and breaking his hip. He was in the hospital with a broken hip and then had complications and cardiac arrest and all that. But point being is, you know, what sent him to the hospital originally was, I'm not shitting on my my old father-in-law, but maybe if he had a little more functional strength, he'd still be with us today. Just kidding. R.I.P.
Well, staying active, and my cousin was a personal trainer. His dad, my uncle, I think is, I don't know if he's 90 yet or coming up on 90. And my cousin posted a video of him doing pull-ups.
Jeez.
I can't do fucking pull-ups.
Fucking pull-ups are hard, dude.
And so
I can do 3/4 of a pull-up. That's about all.
I think if it's if the palms facing out, those are motherfuckers. Palms facing in, I can get a few in. Palms facing out, I'll go try them when I'm done with this. I maybe can get 2 at this point.
Oh, and do you have one of the, you have a pull-up bar, right?
Yeah, I got the power tower.
You know, another thing they say is great.
That's what I'm doing push-ups on, by the way. They're dips push-ups. They're not just on the ground, for the record.
Take that bar and get in your pull-up stance, right? But instead of pulling yourself up, just hang. Just hang there. That's supposed to be an incredible exercise.
Oh, I dangle for a little back, stretch the back out kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, dangle, hang, whatever, you know?
That, also, like when people got into, like, over the pandemic, people were getting into, I don't know if it's like powerlifting or deadlifts or something. And I thought it was just people showing off. But I guess that's an incredibly good exercise because it engages everything in your body. I'm getting the term, I don't know which term it is. But you know, like, you've been picking up one heavy thing once. But it because it, and then make sure you don't lose bone density. And like, it's actually good for your whole body to be doing that kind of strength training. I thought it was just people going, look, I'm strong. And it's not. It's like a very good overall exercise for your body. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Yeah. Your legs, your core, everything.
Let's get ripped, dude.
Might as well, huh?
I'm going to eat lunch and take a nap.
Again, I know I'm prone to hyperbole, but I think subconsciously part of my fitness and health journey is just, you know, when society collapses, you don't want to be a slow fatty.
Whatever motivation, I mean, I've seen the sketch done where it was, I forget where the sketch was. It was like a white woman, like you hire a black guy to chase you through the city. It's not my idea. It was from a sketch show, but it's like, yeah, terrifying women into like they sign up for the class. But whatever the motivation is to get you to want to exercise, if it's like I want to be ready for the fucking apocalypse, that was a joke when I was always joking about the doomsday preppers. Like they always got a bunker full of ravioli. How about? I think you just want an excuse to sit in a bunker and eat ravioli. Like, they're physical fitness. You got all the guns, but once you're out of bullets, you ain't running anywhere. Like,
that's true.
I mean, that's shit, man. It's like I got a buddy who's like that. Got all the guns, but fucking AFib's going to take you down.
Yeah, there are situations where a gun does you no good. Got to be able to get those hands dirty.
You got
to
shoot open that ravioli.
Got to lay hands on a motherfucker.
Well, Dave, let's hope the Audi shitter doesn't get caught by old Dave. Well, so you're excited about your apocalypse body? You're getting ready.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna make some daiquiris. I think at the house.
Good for you, buddy. Yeah. You know what I've been jonesing for?
What's that?
You know what sounds so good to me right now? A banana daiquiri.
Oh. Okay.
Put a little caramel sauce in there.
Ooh.
Banana daiquiri. All right.
I'm listening to you here.
A little honey in there.
I'm a real pina colada sucker.
Yeah, I do like a pina colada. That's what, coconut and pineapple?
I believe so.
Mm.
I never. Yeah, I've only ordered them. I've never made them. But that's the most beach kind of thing. When somebody's like, oh, I don't like coconut, it tastes like suntan lotion. I'm like, I think that's exactly like why I like coconut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's 100% summertime. I bet you can make a it is. I mean,
that's your next special. That's your next special. 100% summertime.
100% summertime. I bet you can make a pretty good watermelon drink that doesn't have fake sugar in it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Fucking watermelon drink.
Like a cucumber watermelon water type. I mean, it's like healthier. It's not like a fun daiquiri, but.
Maybe get rid of that cucumber. Yeah, I like cucumber, but yeah.
Or just something. I'm thinking of combos or something that would be a fun, refreshing summertime beverage for you.
Take some, like, here's what you do. You take some watermelon, and you carve it up, you chunk it up, and then you freeze it. You freeze those chunks.
Uh-huh.
And then the next day, you throw that shit in a blender with maybe some pineapple, some honey, maybe some lime juice.
Right there.
Girl.
Right there. Right there. You have one of those. You're not getting mad at people shitting in the streets.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe that's the answer to my problems, Kyle. Okay, some nice, silly frozen drinks.
Hey, you drink too many of those, you're shitting the street yourself.
That's true. And then now look at you, Dave. The shitty has become the shitter.
You got it. Yeah. It's understanding.
Yeah.
Empathy.
Yeah.
Empathy for the West Hollywood street shitter.
Walk a mile in my shit-laden shoes.
I've shared your advice about using the grocery stores if you ever got a shit and you're looking for a store.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was just wise advice from before. Just, yeah, it's a long way to walk. Mm-hmm. Not everybody knows about it. Ugh.
Yeah, the further back into the store the restroom is, usually the cleaner it's going to be.
Yeah, the more real estate you got to cover to get to a bathroom.
Keeps the riffraff out.
All this talk about it. I've had a damn near half pot coffee.
Go have some fun.
Thank God no food yet today. But I will need some of that now. On account it's 12:40 here, so. All right, man. How about it?
All right, buddy. Yeah, man. Rock and roll, Hoochie Coo.
That's yeah.
Glad you had fun in the Keys, man.
It's good. It's like it's tropical paradise, but also you could fuck off pretty good down there.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to love it, Dave. I'm telling you.
I'll get down there soon.
All right. Sounds good.
All right, buddy. You be good. Clean up after yourself, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Everybody clean up after yourself. Peace.
Okay, thank you.